At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to my episode review of Landman Season 1. This is actually me talking about what I thought of the whole entire season, because it's a weekly show, but I had other shows that I wanted to do, so I decided to go on ahead and just binge it out, finish off the season, then review it. So let's go ahead, let's talk about Landman Season 1. And I have to say, I really enjoyed Landman. I enjoyed watching this show, and I didn't think that I was going to watch a show about basically working in the oil field or anything like that. I didn't think this show was going to be interesting to me, and I winded up loving it. I really loved everything about this show. I thought Billy Bob Thornton was really good in this. I really had to say that even Angela Norris, Allie Lauder, who plays Angela, was really good in this show as well. Everything about the show was really good. The acting, from the cinematography to everything within Landman, was a perfect show. Taylor Sheridan does a fantastic job at this storytelling that he does for Landman. I cannot praise this show enough to tell you that I enjoyed it. But let's see here. There's also some other stuff I want to mention too. Okay, so number one, I thought that coming out right out of the gate, I thought that the daughter was very snobby, and you know, I really didn't really care for her. I also didn't like how Angela, Tommy's ex-wife is. She's just basically using her ex-fiance's or husband's credit card to basically do things and stuff like that to get away with certain things in the show. And also, too, she's also tugging at Tommy as well, which is played by Billy Bob Thornton. But I think that that in the end, they both need each other just as much as they'd realize. And I just really thought that with the way things were in the show and the way it's going, I really enjoyed watching them on screen together. And then my favorite line in this is like, "Your tits look great. Don't get syphilis." I cracked up laughing at that line when she calls him up. She's in Cancun or Mexico, and she winds up telling him that she's about to go out and have some fun. Then you also have the stuff at the cartel that opens up at the very beginning. You're wondering how this is actually going to go down for Tommy and what are the events that are going to inspire whenever you get down to the season finale, and how does this link up with everything, and does it actually end on a high note or does it fall flat? And I'll get into that later on. But as far as me caring about these characters and feeling invested into these characters, I'm going to say it again. The writing is good for these characters to the point where I care about them. You have an emotional attachment to Tommy. You have emotional attachment to all these characters within the show itself. And then There's even a couple of scenes, this one scene where Tommy has to go out to look at a couple of the oil rigs, right? And in this, there's one part where basically in the oil rig, this guy is standing on top of these pipes for the oil rig. And he's like, these are the wrong pipes. These are the wrong pipes. I'm like, dude, you're violating every single OSHA law that you can think of. You couldn't just tell Tommy that you're pissed off at the fact that they gave you wrong pipes and stuff. You had to stand on top of it. And on top of that, they weren't even the pipes that you were actually standing on are not even tied down or anything, dude. You need to get off of that. And I was panicking because I'm like, I know what's about to happen. And before you know it, he winds up falling down. The pipes wind up being on top of him. I'm like, this is not good. Especially with all the stuff that's going on with Tommy too, trying to check that out. There's also some stuff going on with his son as well, because his son's also a worm who's that's the nickname they actually give people that are first starting out on the oil rig. But Cooper Norris is actually Tommy's son, and he goes out on this oil rig. And you don't know how this character is going to be fitting into the story or anything or in the overall narrative of the story. But whenever he goes out on this field, you're invested into, Cooper with everybody talking to each other and stuff like that. And you care about them. And he's also learned the culture of what, of the Mexicans and stuff like that too. He's learning what certain words are. He's also learning about, I don't know if enchiladas or not anything like that, but he's getting along with these guys perfectly well. It almost feels like a family to him. And then what winds up happening is, something winds up happening on the oil rig. They tell him, hey, Tommy, we need you to go, not Tommy, but we need you to go on ahead. Cooper, we need you to go on the oil rig and fix this, so that we can fix this. So he winds up giving him a wrench, trying to go get a wrench. And before you know it, the whole entire thing blows up because when Cooper comes back, they keep on tapping on it. And then it actually arcs a spark to where, you know, the oil rig winds up exploding and everybody dies. And then everybody except for Cooper. And my mouth just fell open at that. I'm like, it's just so shocking at how these people risk their lives every single day. Day in and day out, anything could happen to these people to the point where they won't even get to return home. And to know that Cooper, that's actually the last person that got to see them alive was Cooper, and nobody can actually vouch for Cooper on anything that happened that night except for him. He's the only survivor of this. And you have the other family members that are pissed off at him and wants to kick his ass and stuff. And even when he goes down to the wake, and stuff like that to pay his respects, you know, it just breaks my heart to see him go there and then they're not showing any type of respect, which I understand because it's like, look, dude, why are you even here? I understand that you were like the last person here, but at the same time, it's also a little bit of a disrespect because my family's not here. And also too, the wife is also showing some interest in him as well. And Ariana, which is played by Paulina Chavez, and you're really invested into her as well. And you can definitely tell that she's really into him too, because he's actually holding the baby, and stuff like that. And she's just looking at him. And yeah, it's just a painful thing to see. And then what winds up happening to Cooper is they wind up jumping him and at the job, and Cooper is having to stay in the hospital. Then of course she winds up trying to take care of him and stuff like that. And they don't know where the direction this is actually going to go in or anything like that. Even Billy Bob Thornton's character is like, what are you guys doing? Do you guys even know what you're doing? They're like, no, we're just trying to figure it out. Just like anything else. But she's a widow who Cooper wind up witnessing dying. And that's the most saddest thing about it. And he's trying to figure out what his feelings are, just like how she is. Then you also have the stuff with the lawyer, Rebecca, played by Caleb Wallace, is in this as well. And she's actually one of those, lawyers that's just basically looking for something to chew on, basically. She's trying to make a name for herself. And she figures that she can do this by targeting Tommy, targeting everybody within this company. And, you know, I really have to say, I really didn't like the fact that she went at Cooper the way she did. But I also understand it from a lawyer standpoint as well, too, from a legal standpoint, because he's the only survivor of that accident and stuff, too. But let me go on ahead and segue over to Tommy and all and stuff like that now. But, you know, Tommy is trying to go through all these other landfills and stuff like that, trying to make sure everything's running properly. You also have Monty, who's also in charge, who's actually the big boss of this as well. And Monty's not doing so good health-wise or anything like that. And you are invested into what's going to happen next. And, you know, I just feel like with Billy Bob, he's really gotten great, better as an actor. I really have to say that. But whenever you see him over at the house and stuff, he's, he has a lawyer named Nathan that's with him through this company. And he's trying to tell him, hey, Tommy, we need to go ahead and give the family that Cooper is seeing, we need to give them some money. So they wind up giving them some money and stuff like that towards paying off their bills and things like that. But at the end of the day, though, that does not bring him back. And, you know, the family doesn't know any of these legal terms or anything like that. And so basically they're just kind of paying them off as hush money in a sense, so that way they don't have to be targets for them. At least that's what I actually looked at it from that perspective. It's like hush money, so that way they don't go after the company. So therefore, because they don't know those legal terms or anything, they can do them any kind of way they want to. But I don't think that they generally care about them per se. But then you also get invested into the relationship with Tommy and his ex-wife, and they wind up getting together. Getting back together again, even though they know that it's not going to work out, but they're hoping for the best. And the daughter's very stuck up. She only wants to have maybe two French fries and then throw them away in the trash can. I'm sorry. If I went all the way to Burger King or wherever I am and I just worked a job and I had to tell people that they died and also check on all this other equipment and stuff and I brought you some food, you're eating that whole entire thing. I don't care that you only want two fries out of that. You're very stuck up. You're in your ways. And also, too, she's also seen this other football guy that's in Texas as well. And, you know, Billy Bob is don't know what to do. Tommy doesn't really know what to do with her or anything like that. He doesn't want her to have sex. He's trying to prevent her from doing that and also trying to protect her. And he doesn't want to hear it. He's like, no, from now on, just call it prayer meeting that you're going to church. But I just thought that was a little bit of a comical moment with that as a father and daughter relationship. You also had the mother who's actually taking these old folks and even the daughter out to a strip club just to get out. And also, too, they're drinking at the inside the nursing home and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just like they just want to do something nice for them. But the thing with Monty is, I know I'm segueing a lot, but, you know, I just love what John Hamm did with the character. And I liked Demi Moore in this. I thought she was a standout in this show. And you can actually believe that they act like they're married because of the way they're acting and stuff like that. It's very believable to the point where everything is just working. And this is just one of those shows that I think is going to be on for a while. That you can do a lot with, maybe like three seasons or four seasons. Because if you get into that fifth season, you wind up becoming a lot more repetitive with stuff. But man, this is such a good show when you look at the continuity within it. But yeah, the season finale technically serves its intrepid purpose. It resolves Monty Miller's fate, deals with the drug cartel, and points out of the characters in general direction. But none of these things feel effectively concluded. Instead of seems like Sheridan has fallen into the oldest and most tiresome TV traps, leaving a certain amount of things vague in hopes of campaigning for another season, which I understand because I don't blame him for doing this. Every TV show does this where they want to hook you in for the next season. But I just felt like it was a little bit of a convenience thing with the ending of season one of Landman. It's like, okay, Tommy's being tortured by the cartels. The cartels winds up taking a nail to his leg, torturing the guy, also putting gasoline over his head. It was just brutal. And you know, they also blew up an oil rig too. And also, and here's another thing too, is on that same land that they have the oil rig and everything else, that's where the cartels are doing their business. But also too, Tommy is trying to get them out of there, get the cartels out of that section. Because really, that oil field and that land belongs to them. So what they do is he winds up basically leasing it out to the army or the National Guard. And they wind up doing some drills, and then they wind up accidentally dropping some bombs on the cartel's van. And then next thing you know, the cartel's van is gone. So basically the boss of the cartels tells the underboss or just a henchman, hey, we need you to go on ahead, kidnap Tommy, bring him back over here so we can talk to him. And he's over there torturing him. He's doing everything in the woodwork for Tommy. But the thing that I have to say that was kind of convenient was the fact that I just felt like it was kind of lackluster in a sense, because of the fact that, you know, when someone's in danger, you're expecting them to save them. And I wish that in this sense was, it would have been ballsy to kill Billy Bob Thornton's character off just to show that no one is safe. But I understand he's the star of the show. Of course, they're not going to do that within the first season. But the danger element of the anyone can go was there. And then it was strictly taken away. And also, too, I understand that you have to introduce the cartel boss and everything. I totally get that. But I just felt like, you know, there was no introduction to
some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To his character at all. It was just all of a sudden he was just there. And I thought maybe at first it was just like a little bit of sloppy writing in a sense, but I understand what they're going for. But I, you know, I just thought it was, the season finale was okay, but it could have been better, amped up a little bit. But, you know, the crux of the episode is Tommy being named president of MTEX and being asked by Cammy to wrap up the deal that her husband struck in order to bring one last windfall. Part of the episode involves Tommy trying to do that, but then he gets abducted, like I mentioned, by the cartel. So the fate of the deal and the fate of the MTEX are left up in the air. Then after a bloody sequence of events that cartel has sets Tommy free, wanting their two sides to be friends. So that's not finished. So my thing is this, how are you going to become friends when you blew up a whole entire oil rig and do business with each other? And it's one thing to make a whole entire SUV disappear. You cannot make a oil rig disappear, especially when Tommy tells him, hey, look, asshole, this is what's going to be happening. We're going to have a whole bunch of helicopters here. We're going to have everybody over here in less than 5 minutes. So I don't understand how they could actually do that. I don't know how the cartels can play a role in this. I don't know what they can do unless they want to be like where you actually have someone behind the scenes that knows the business of this and wants to make some type of business deal with them. And, you know, and I think that with them making the deal with the cartels, they get better equipment, they get better stuff with the cartels. But of course, you also know this, they're probably going to get some Mexicans also too working on the oil field that's actually related to the mob boss and everything too. So you have that going on probably next season as well. That's just me speculating, but of course you would want like an inside man to be able to run this oil field if you want everything to go right. But I also want to tell you guys this, okay? So Nathan is actually probably one of my favorite characters on the show. He's actually the lawyer of the oil company that Billy Bob Thornton's character works for. And he is so freaking hilarious. Like, his facial expressions when Tommy's daughter and also Tommy's ex-wife walks into the living room. He goes, "Hey, Tommy, they're in their underwear. They're ruining my whole entire thing. I cannot have this in here. I cannot have this in here." And he goes, "Look, you're just going to have to deal with this and do what you need to do." So you have Nathan living in there. Not to mention, you also have another roommate that's living in there with Tommy and also now the daughter and also the wife. You have Dale. And my other thing is, too, Tommy's wife winds up throwing away the Pop-Tarts, putting water over it and stuff like that, too. So I just thought it was funny and comical, the fact that she wants them to eat healthy. And also, too, there's also this other thing, too, at the dinner table. She winds up making this nice dinner, but part of the heritage of what she made for that dinner does not involve plates or anything like that. Everybody eats out of the same plate. And Tommy's like, "Where the hell is the plates? Where are the forks?" Just, "Oh, in this culture, you don't eat out of plates or anything. You eat in one bowl. So therefore, here's your," he goes, "Look, we live in America. So therefore, I'm going to get myself some forks and I'm going to get myself some plates. Anybody else want to join me?" I just thought it was funny that she's trying to introduce him into a culture that Tommy doesn't even want to be part of. Plus, he's also like, I don't blame the guy. He's having to come in late and she's expecting him at dinner like 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening hour when he's over there telling people telling family members that someone died. He's actually have them doing some legal work. He's having to do stuff for money. He's having to do X amount of stuff and she's expecting him just to go ahead and just basically be like a everyday blue collar family man when he can't do that, because it's hard to balance that life, especially when you have something like that going on within an oil field and stuff. So as for Angela and Tommy, there's not a huge turning point for them, but Angela supports Tommy when he needs her the most. Like I said, she needs him just as much as he needs her, but they don't see it yet in the first couple of episodes until like the very end, like towards the end of it. And you're going to see that part of the show finally have a major impact. Yet it is the series isn't able to come back for another season. This finale isn't the best place to leave anyone who's not in the Norris family. And you also have outside of the Norris family, the crumbs of hope winds up pushing many characters to the sidelines. Demi Moore is given her meatest scenes yet as Cammy Miller talks to Tommy about what she wants for her future and that her own family. It's a little bit laughable when Cammy talks about wanting to have enough money to be remembered, because as Tommy points out, that's more than ego than anything else. But the scenes between Moore and Billy Bob Thornton do feel like world-weary conversations between old friends. It's a shame that their friendship wasn't able to be explored further. That's something that I wish that they would have done, and I hope they don't do like a prequel series of showing the friendship between them. But I did wish that they actually extended that out, besides of being a business aspect to it. I wanted to see more of a friendship being expanded, either in the flashbacks maybe a little bit, to be fleshed out a little bit more, stuff like that, because I wanted to see that chemistry between the two of them of how these two friends come together and how they wind up making this oil field thing work. Because I thought that the chemistry between him, John Hamm and him worked, and John Hamm's character, Monty, is dead, but he doesn't pass until a silent scene late into the finale. He will have died at the end of episode 9 because he wishes are executed once he becomes legally incapacitated. But having the character in surgery off screen doesn't add or change much plot wise. Tommy still has to rally the Intex team, and there's limited screen time for both Rebecca Falcone and Nathan. If the series does get renewed, Colm Farrell deserves much more to do as Nathan, because he's quietly been fabulous all along. The big winner in this group is James Jordan, because Dale gets a hilarious extra scene in which Torment's Ryder and Ryder comes to the oil to see Ansley, and it might be the funniest scene in Landman. Pauline Chavez doesn't have an awful lot to do in terms of the story, but here's the thing. When you have TV shows like Landman, it's only one season in. They only give you a little bit to play around with, and then once they see that this show is getting bigger, they give you more of a budget to work with. So I'm thinking, because of the fact they can only fit so many characters within the budget itself, that they have to try and finagle certain things around to where it actually benefits the show itself, which is what happened with The Sopranos, for example, where they didn't know that they were going to get picked up for another season or whatever. So some characters might actually be left alone, while other characters begin to grow, but they always wind up trying to figure out a way to bring those characters to give them more extra layers. So I'm thinking that this is actually going to be that same thing when it comes down to Landman as well. So it's going to be interesting on how they actually do this. But Pauline Arena packing up the last of Elvo's belongings and reviewing their old photo albums and some of the episodes however, the episode belongs to Billy Bob Thornton as Tommy Norris. He's the thread running through almost everything going on in this episode. In ways, he's come full circle as the premiere of the final, and both involve scenes of Tommy being held captive by the cartel. Thornton is excellent as Tommy, is roughed up in a sequence that goes on too long. I actually put that in my notes, but I feel like some of it worked and some of it didn't. I felt like it was a little bit of a convenience thing, but I wish that they would have gone a little bit further along before something happens or something. But he remains defiant. He's vulnerable and in pain. That makes the viewers cringe, but he also feels like he's going to keep going no matter what. That seems to be the message Sheridan wants to leave Landman's audience with. So my other thing is this, okay? So, Landman Season 1, Episode 10 does a lot of looking ahead, but that could mean any number of things. The potential Season 2 could pick up exactly the spot with Tommy in charge of closing the farm out deal and selling Intex, but that story is obviously finite. There could be a time jump, which I was actually thinking when I was actually thinking about this on which way they could go with it, in which he goes to work for a different oil company, but that would likely require getting rid of half the cast. So what comes next? Sheridan has left too many possibilities. But here's the thing. I don't think that doesn't fit with Tommy's character when I'm writing this out, right? I feel like he's ride or die. He's ride or die with this oil company. And why would he actually leave the oil company when the cartels want to become friends with him? So that would actually go against Tommy's character. So what I'm thinking is, number one, cartels strike up a deal with Tommy. He winds up probably changing the name to something else. You have someone that's related into the cartel that's working for Tommy to make sure everything's going well. You also probably have to establish the fact that, you know, there might actually be a silent partner with Tommy within the cartels as well, to make sure that everything is legal, making sure that there's a fair cut between the company and also the cartels, and also being able to let the cartels do their drug runs and stuff like that. I do not see them probably transferring drugs or anything like that either in the show. Otherwise, it just becomes Sons of Anarchy with oil. And I'm hoping that that's not the case. I really don't want this to be like Sons of Anarchy, but with oil. The time jump thing actually makes sense, because you can actually go into the flashbacks of where Tommy was in Season 1 and then go put him in there in present day, showing what he's doing now. So they could play it off like that for the first part of episode one of season two. But the cartel threat is still very much exists and will not likely to go away permanently. Has to be dealt with somehow, or Landman risks repeating itself. Season two doesn't need more scenes of menacing looking cartel enforcers threatening Tommy. In fact, the most distracting part of the Crumbs of Hope is still all the shots that from Tommy's point of view, where the camera is looking out through the hood place over his head, and the and Monty is gone. Which character feels his role is the show of representing the upstairs business issue that Tommy doesn't deal with? Is that Rebecca, or does Tommy have to shift his way into the white collar world? Will there be something new for Angela and Elsie to do now that they've settled into their new lives? And then there's Cooper and Ariana, not just together, but both characters individually have beautiful stories of pain and recovery. The one thing that's absolutely clear is that Landman has earned a second season based on the strength of the entire cast and the show's beating heart. Billy Bob Thornton's, I'm just telling you this. This is peak Billy Bob Thornton for me. The whole main cast has had at least one special moment for each of their characters. I've mentioned some of them. What are your favorite ones that I didn't get a chance to mention? Tell me in the comments. I would like to know what were some of the things that you didn't like about the end of the season finale. What was some of the stuff that worked for you? What was some of the stuff that didn't work for you? Tell me in the comments. I would like to know what you guys think, because seriously, I like to geek out with you guys and see what you guys think about the show. But, you know, the whole main, and like I said, everybody had their own special moments in the show. And underneath all the violence and the bickering, there's a touching story about families trying to make their way in the world. Landman's is Taylor Sheridan's best work since Yellowstone, which is why it's a shame that the finale isn't on the epic level it deserves to be. But like I said, I think that having the mob boss at the very end of it and having the reveal, it was okay. I wasn't too impressed with it. I thought maybe it was a little bit of sloppy writing, but still, I'm excited about this new season. I'm excited about what we're going to get from season two. Everything about this show worked up until the season finale. It felt kind of lackluster, but it's well worth watching despite that one episode. This is something that I think that people are going to enjoy. I think that this show is going to run, I think this show should only run three seasons and that's it. Or maybe four and that's it. But either way it goes, this is a good show. I definitely recommend it. I definitely think that you guys should check it out on Paramount Plus when you guys have a chance. But yeah, that's going to be it as far as the show goes. I hope that you guys enjoyed my Landman season one review. Tell me in the comments, like I said, email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com. I'd like to know your thoughts. But yeah, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Also too, we're also sponsored by Fanatics. Go on ahead, get yourself a nice hoodie or whatever if you guys want to. Also too, I also want to mention this. I feel bad for everybody out in Los Angeles right now that is dealing with the fires. So keep everybody in your prayers and thoughts and stuff like that. And if you have family over there, I wish you guys the best. I hope that you guys, have a full on LA strong, recovery with this. Also too, rest in peace to David Lynch. And, I really enjoyed your movies. I really enjoyed everything that you do. You're a cinematic masterpiece of work. And, yeah. So with that being said, guys, don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe button, all that other good stuff. Go ahead, listen to us on Spotify. Listen to us where you guys get your podcasts from. I'm John DiGiorgio with Movie Loves Tonight, and everyone have a great and safe night, and I'll catch you guys on the next one. Later, guys.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.